Let's take our Bibles tonight, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3 tonight. As we travel in 75 churches in these 13 weeks, we have one prayer. We have several prayer requests, but one main prayer is that God would help us to be an encouragement to the pastor, to the church, and that certainly is my intent tonight. And then that we would ask that you would pray for us, that God would send laborers into his harvest. I'd ask you if you could to stand one more time, just out of respect to the Word of God. Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 down through verse number 6. I will not be long, but I do want to be a blessing. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 1, you listen and I'll read. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Verse 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Verse 3. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up." And then verse 6, "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Certainly tonight this passage is not new to us. We've heard probably countless fantastic messages that have spoke to our hearts through the years when we've heard this passage. But I want to talk to you tonight on this subject. We never stand alone. We never stand alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, I ask you tonight, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, and I pray that every word that you would have me to say, Lord, I pray that I would say it. If there be something you would not have me to say, and I intended, and it's even written in my notes, Lord, take it from me. I want to be your servant tonight. I want to be a blessing. I love this pastor and this dear church, and I pray tonight that they will leave this place encouraged and uplifted to reach more of the lost to this area. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Wagner Dodge was his name. He was a professional firefighter. He was a professional firefighter known as a smoke jumper. Smoke jumpers fly right into the center of the forest fires. They parachute in, hoping to stop the flames, and this man by the name of Wagner Dodge and his crew jumped into a plane. In fact, they came from different parts of the country, the best of the best, and they flew into a place in Montana, in central Montana, called the Man Gulch. It was a fire that was raging. As they parachuted in, it looked like a normal operation. And in fact, those 15 men walked single file down the gorge towards the Missouri River to take on the fire. Wagner Dodge left his 14 men in the middle of the gorge so that he could go in a little farther, a little deeper to scout out the situation. But as Wagner Dodge got within 100 feet of the fire, there were two things that he noticed very quickly that changed his life. First, there was a fire that was much worse than he had observed from above, and it was causing the fire to move at a very fast rate. In fact, it was a lot faster than he realized. The second was this that changed his life. The winds were blowing the fire above the gulch, and where he left his men all the way to the ridge all around them, the fire had moved. And that was cutting off their only escape route. As he ran back to his men, he ordered them to retreat And he realized that the gulch was what they called in fireman, smoke jumper terms, a transitional zone. You can imagine that's not good. You see, a forest fire can rarely move faster at more than 4 or 5 miles an hour, they knew. But at that pace, smoke jumpers can outrun the fire. But Man Gulch was now part of what they called a transitional zone. A transitional zone is where the mountain forest transitioned to the level plains of the prairie grass. And in their case, the grass was shoulder high, bone dry. The grass was ready to explode when it would be hit with the flames. Every firefighter knows that fights these type of fires, you cannot outrun a prairie grass fire. Wagner Dodge knew within a minute or two that he and his men would be completely engulfed in the flames. In fact, the fire was so hot, Pastor, the sap from the trees around was superheating and exploding like bullets, and the fog looked like fog. The smoke was so thick they could not see their hands in front of their faces. There was no escape. Dodge and his 14 men were trapped. And it looked like the only options that they had were to stand and burn up, or to turn and burn up, or to run and burn up. Not much of a choice. They had about 60 seconds to decide, and Dodge thought, what do I do when I'm out of options? You see, tonight, in a crowd this size, and Pastor, I know this because you've been here well over 40 years, I understand, as I've pastored 27 of my own 34 years in the ministry, there are times in life when our backs are against the wall. There are some of you here tonight who would say, well, Brother Deverick, I'm doing fine tonight, but we all know it can only take a phone call to change our life completely. We've all been there in life where circumstances and come into our life and we're surrounded by the fires of life, so to speak, where we felt like there just is no option. In fact, we feel like we're standing all alone. When it comes, and some will think there are no options, and we think, what do? We can either give in, give out, or give up. The message tonight that I want to share in these few minutes are that we never stand alone. You know, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, when you think you are out of options, may I remind us tonight, and this is so good, there's always the God option, amen. In fact, when we have a problem, we're tempted to complain, or we're tempted to be discouraged, or to get just beside ourselves, but we need to pray. And tonight we're going to take a look at one of the most fascinating Bible stories that God gives to us, and it's God's Word. And you know, God's Word is alive, and this is for all of us here tonight. If you'll take your Bibles and look in Daniel chapter 3, I want to give you just three simple little truths tonight that I think will help us to realize that we're never alone when we stand for God. I'd encourage you to write this first point down, and that is this. First of all, we need to take courage from God. Take courage from God. You know, there are three parts to this story, and the story is pretty much set up in the first six verses. We read about Nebuchadnezzar that made the image of gold and how he called in everybody, and I do mean everybody. Why, there was the who's who of the day. I mean, the mayor was there. I mean, all the officials of the day. Because of Israel's disobedience and disregard of God, God had allowed them to be taken over by the Babylonians. The Babylonians, in turn, had taken captive some of the finest young men, some of the most productive, and tried to, in their way, turn them over what they thought would be more productive citizens. The leader of Babylon was none other than Nebuchadnezzar. And by the way, he was the most powerful monarch in the world of that day. He was not only commander-in-chief, but the most powerful army on earth, and he wanted everyone to bow down to the same altar, worship the same God, and he wanted to make sure everybody was included and nobody was excluded. The only thing that was not tolerated was anyone who would not tolerate what he wanted tolerated. Don't ask me to say that again. But he wanted something they could not do. He lifted up the golden image of the pagan god, and there were no exemptions and no exceptions. You'll notice the list of the dignitaries. I mean, it was everywhere. It was in the news. It was in, if they had the CNN, you say CNN, yeah, the Chaldean news network of the day. Maybe it was on Good Morning Babylon. I don't know. But he had set a new religion to be formed and a new god to be worshipped. Then the wind of the demonic commandment is met by the wall of divine courage. And I want to say tonight, Cleveland Baptist Church, we all need to take courage in the great God that we have. Amen. Because I want to remind us, we have a great God. My wife and I and the group were traveling through last week, and we stayed at the Hampton, and we were there, and I like to pass out tracts wherever I go. And first lady I ran into was a maid, and she was in the hallway, and she was cleaning her room. And I said, "Ma'am, I'd like to give this to you." She looked at it, and she said, "I go to that church." What a blessing. You know, this community needs to know that God's people believe there's a God that can do anything. And that's a wonderful thing God's done. Look in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 12. Let me read it for us. "There are certain Jews which thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Think about that for a moment. Anybody and everybody who was somebody fell in line and did what they were told. These young men could have rationalized. They could have compromised. They could have said, "Well, everybody else is doing it. When in Babylon, do what the Babylonians do." But that's not what they said. You know, thank God for young people today who will say, "You know, I'm not going to live like the world. I'm not going to act like the world." Thank God for the dads and the moms that raise their families for the Lord. We need to take courage from God. These three men do us a big favor. They show us what I believe real faith is all about. Real faith means obeying God regardless of the feelings within us, the circumstances around us, or the consequences that we know might be before us. One of the greatest lessons I believe a parent can ever teach a child, and I have four that now have, so to speak, left our nest, and two are serving in full-time ministry, and all four have graduated from Bible college, and the only two that are left are waiting for God's mate, for God to give them as they go out and serve the Lord and the Lord's work. And I believe that one of the parents, as a parent, one of the best lessons we can teach our children is to have the courage to stand for the right, even when they stand alone. Mom and Dad, let me say tonight, encourage your young people to not just say what I want to do with my life is what I want to do, but encourage them to say, "What does God want me to do with my life?" You see, God always stands with you, and so our first step when we're standing alone is this: take courage from God. Secondly, I hasten tonight, and we might want to jot this down if you're putting something on paper, but step two is to keep confidence in God. Not only take courage from God, but Pastor, tonight I believe we need to keep our confidence in God. You know, Nebuchadnezzar hears about the disobedience of these three men, and his temperature is higher, his temper is hotter than the fire in the furnace, and he's upset. Look in Daniel 3 and verse 15. "Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made." Well, "but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And here's what I want you to underline. If you underline in your Bible, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Listen to that question. That's the question you will always be asked. When you're being tempted to compromise, when you're being tempted to give in, to go along, to get along, to take that bait, to get in line, which God do we really serve? Do we really trust Him when it's just convenient, or is it a heartfelt decision that we made and we're going to keep? What was their response? Well, look in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.'" I love these guys. They don't fear. Church family, listen tonight. God's people at Cleveland Baptist Church need to make a decision that you probably made long before, but just recommitted again tonight. You're going to do what's right regardless of the circumstances. Regardless of what God may or may not do. You see, they look the king square in the eye and they say, King, time for a talk is over. It's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. It's not up for deliberation. Pastor, thank God for the families that make their minds up. They're going to live for God. They're not going to waver when the kids become teenagers. They're not going to push the limits and push the buttons and stir the trouble. Thank God for men and women that love the Lord. You see, there is something that we should never forget. We serve a God that is able. Daniel 3:17, it reads this way, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now they said, King, whatever happens to us, we're not going to walk around and groan and complain and say, woe is me. They were going to go out singing, how great thou art. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, it's so important that we know that God is able in everything we face. Scientifically, our God is able to take nothing and to turn it into everything. Physically, our God is able to take illness and to turn it into wellness. And spiritually, our God is able to take a rebellious heart and to turn it into a redeemed heart. Can I get an amen there? Eternally, our God is able to take the sunset of death and to turn it into the sunrise of resurrection. You see, our God is able. What they said next was one of the all-time great statements of faith in God. Look at Daniel chapter 3 and look with me, if you will, in verse number 18. It says, but if not. Put a circle around those three words. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You see, they had already made up their minds. They had already made up their hearts. They had already decided what was right and what was wrong. My wife says I shouldn't tell people how old I am. I told her, I said, I want them to know I'm older than 39, okay? But can I tell you something tonight? You're looking at the heart of someone who was 13 years old, accepted Christ. 1 year later, after I began reading my Bible, I said, God, what would you have me to do with my life? And can I tell you something? I believe God is calling young men and young ladies into the ministry today. I don't think that we have a God that has less calling of young people into the ministry. Oh no, I believe that God is still calling, God is still asking in hearts today for young people, adults, college age, career, everyone to do his will for their life. I was saved on April 18th of 1976 in the Landmark Baptist Church in Stonington, Illinois, a little church out in the country, pastor, running 1,200. Excuse me, the town population was 1,200, but oh, there were 800 in church every Sunday. No big cities around. You see, God was doing something in that place. And you know, tonight you might think, wow, that's an amazing thing. But I know God's doing something here. And I know that God is working in this place tonight, in the Sunday school class and in the youth ministry and the student ministry. God is at work tonight. Not only do we need to take courage from God, not only do we need to keep our confidence in God, but in closing, in our last step that we'll look at tonight, I believe we need to honor commitments to God. You see, there was no small print. There was no contract to sign. If God delivered them from the furnace, they would live for him. If God did not deliver them through the furnace, they would live for him. Thank God for people that just decide to do right and don't change. Whether they lived or whether they died, they had made a commitment to God. They were going to honor that commitment. Nebuchadnezzar had made an equally strong commitment to his God. You see, it was the heat they were willing to take, and then he thought the heat he was willing to give. He heats the furnace up and seven times more, and here's the very best part of all of this. He was determined they were going to go from rare to super well done in the flash of an eye. The smoke would be a reminder to everyone they'd better stay in line. Look with me, if you will, in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 23. This is so good. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said unto the king, "True, O king, everybody that's here tonight, if this is the only verse you read, read it here." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." We'll not debate who that was. I believe it was the Son of God. The Old Testament appearance of the New Testament Jesus. And regardless, Nebuchadnezzar realized they can stay in there all day, but there'll be no barbecue because something's different. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, my high God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Now let's do the math tonight. It's very simple. Verse 24 tells us three men went into the fire. Verse 25 tells us there were four men in the fire. And verse 26 tells us that three men came out of the fire. When you take the heat for God, He'll take the heat for you. You know, Jesus didn't come into this world to get us out of trouble. He came to go through the trouble with us. And we never need to fear the furnace of life. Trouble's the opportunity to prove that with God you can face any furnace. I don't know who you are here tonight. I met an awful lot of good, dear people before the service, and we shook hands and talked about the weather and little things, but can I tell you, I know they're hurting hearts here tonight. Some shared, and some I could see tears, and some I could see there's a broken heart going on. Oh, those firefighters, we talked about at the beginning of the message. You see, what they thought they were out of options, but they weren't. Wagner Dodge suddenly took out a match, lit the match, and threw it into the shoulder-high grass in front of him. Immediately, his men thought he had lost his mind, and in an instant, the grass was ablaze in a widening circle. As the ring of the new fire spread, it cleared a small area of burning everything that was flammable. It wasn't much of a safety zone, but it was all they had. Wagner Dodge jumped into that blazing ring of fire, moved to the very center, wrapped a wet towel that he had with him around his face, and knelt down and waited. The surging firewall that took 3,000 acres in 10 minutes leapt over the top of his circle because it found nothing to burn where he was. But here's the tragedy. 14 men saw what he did in lighting that circle and jumping into it. 13 decided they would be better off making their own way and taking a run for it. But none of them made it out. Only the two men, the one that joined him, realized that fire cannot go where the fire had already been, and they were saved. In other words, strangely, only the two men who were willing to take the heat were the men that lived. And may I remind us tonight, church family, as I close, 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked into a fiery furnace in the shape of a cross. And he took the heat of God's wrath against our sin so that we could be forgiven and redeemed from the fire of death. So we can have the light of eternal life. For no other reason, every chance we get, we ought to take any heat for Him that we can, because He took the greatest heat for us. I don't know what you're facing tonight. But I know this, everybody has a burden. Everybody has a hurt. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, I'm going to turn it right over to the pastor, but I want you to think about that tonight. What is God sharing with you in your heart from this message?